107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here, Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Kane with traffic, Dr. Bill with our forecast. I'll talk to Quinn Hillier in just a second. Also, a note here from our friends at the Original Oyster House. They say it's no secret the Alabama Gulf Coast claims the most breathtaking sunsets in the area. So to confirm this, the Original Oyster House is running a contest to find the best sunset photo either taken from either of its two waterfront locations. I've been talking about the view forever, right? The view of Little Lagoon down at Gulf Shores and, of course, the Mobile Bay Causeway, north end of the bay, the delta from the Causeway location. So here's if you're a sunset enthusiast, I love this, because last time you were a selfie enthusiast. Now, if you're a sunset enthusiast, I think that's a lot of us, you could enter your photo and win a dinner for two up to a $50 value or other great prizes, including Original Oyster House tote bags filled with goodies. So this began last week, the promotion, and it goes through the end of August. To enter, participants must be 18 years old or older. Visit either Original Oyster House location during sunset and take a photo of the sunset in or outside the restaurant, then post it on Facebook.com/Original Oyster House with the hashtag OOH Sunset. Winners of the OOH Sunset Contest will be selected by the Original Oyster House restaurants. Facebook likes of the sunset post and or creativity of the sunset post can improve a participant's chance of winning. Participants can campaign for likes by tagging after posting to the Original Oyster House Facebook page and sharing the post on their own Facebook pages. By posting your hashtag OOH Sunset on Original Oyster House Facebook page, you fully and unconditionally agree to be bound by the rules and decisions of the restaurants, which will be final and binding in all matters relating to the promotion. That's the lawyer speak there. Winners will be notified via Facebook Messenger. We'll have 24 hours to alert the Original Oyster House via Facebook Messenger if they do not wish their photograph to be used for promotional materials. You post your Facebook, post the picture on the Facebook page, and then by the end of August, we'll let you know who wins there. So we'll talk more about that, but good stuff with the folks at the Original Oyster House. All right, let's go to check in with our buddy Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, author of Mad Jones Heretic and national writer. Are you in residence or are you in non-residence? How do you state that? Like, if you're writing for the publication, I hear, like, writer in residence, and I go, you know, that person doesn't live anywhere near where that publication is. I mean, you have to... Let's say writer in residence. You know, your residence should just be your house.
Well, that's usually something they say if you're at a college. And for a while, I was writer in residence at the University of Mobile. But okay. Now I have no residence. I'm just a hobo.
You're homeless.
I'm just a writer hobo.
Homeless writer for so many publications nationally. All right. Speaking of which, I want to get into a story you have on the Washington Examiner on their website. Obama broke the franchise employee relationship. The Senate can fix it. Now, I do remember dimly in the past talking about this with you when this was passed a few years ago.
Yeah. And
explain okay. this. Explain
Try
what
to
we're
make
talking
it
about.
As simple as I can.
That's what
most,
I need.
A lot of businesses, most typically restaurant chains, there's like a national Burger King, but each individual Burger King location is actually a franchise. It is owned in most instances or most by sort of, it's sort of a co-ownership, but it's mostly owned by a local owner.
Mm-hmm.
It's owned and operated by John Doe in Alabama, not by Burger King itself. And that is a business model that works tremendously well. It encourages local entrepreneurs. It happens to particularly be the best route for minorities to become business owners, because what they do is they usually, get hired as manager, get hired as workers in a business, and then they get hired as a manager, and then they make money, and they work, and they buy a franchise.
Oh, and they know how the place operates, yeah. That's the kind of people I like.
Exactly. And there are statistics that show it is easily the number one way that minorities become entrepreneurs, and it's just a proven fact. So, the problem that was caused 3 years ago is when the National Labor Relations Board, under Barack Obama with his appointees changed the rules that have existed for 40-something years on employer-employee relations regarding businesses like franchises. It's called the Joint Employer Rule. And it used to have a very narrow definition of joint employer that we won't even really get into, but this, the Obamites expanded the joint employer definition so that it becomes really easy for two owners, both the local franchisor and the national chain, to be considered the direct employer for any business dispute, any employee-employer dispute. And that sounds like something very, very technical, but it has vast ramifications because it means that you know, you could have some bad local actor and the entire national chain, and including all of their franchises, could be on the hook for some kind of lawsuit or whatever. And what it means is that it makes the franchise model not work, and so the national chains don't franchise. And so you lose local ownership if they're afraid of this joint employer rule.
Right. I mean, if you're saying, if you're opened as the national company, if you're opening yourself up to liability of what happens at your franchises, then in the grander scheme, it's worth just not having somebody else out there and doing it yourself. So I mean, if you're going to risk the liability, I get you.
Exactly. And so that's a very long-winded way of explaining that by expanding the joint employer definition, you make it less likely for local franchises to start in the first place. And that was a big deal. Well, Bradley Byrne, our local congressman, wrote and passed a very short law, passed through the House, a very short bill, a standalone bill that just says we are going to revert this, revert the interpretation of the law back to where it was before the Obama bureaucrats changed it on their own. Bradley's bill, Congressman Byrne's bill, passed the House on its own, and now it sits in the Senate, but the Senate won't bring it up. Because they're afraid of a filibuster or whatever, even though Congressman Byrne's bill got a majority, I mean, got bipartisan support. It got a number of Democrats, and not just Republicans, voting for it. And so there it sits. You got to get the committee chairman, Lamar Alexander. You got to get the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, to say, let's bring this bill up and actually have hearings and have a vote on it to fix this problem. So that's what I wrote about. It's something that really means a lot. And it's not just the local employer, but it also means he's on the hook. If he hires a contractor to do repairs and the contractor does something wrong, then whoever the contractor's employee is can now sue the local franchisor, franchisee, and the national.
Unbelievable.
So the local one is on the hook as well.
Yeah, which is, added incentive for something to be filed, somebody to pursue that. Okay.
Exactly.
So the get here for those that pushed this was, the way I understand it, for collective bargaining, right? This is a union deal.
Yeah, that's why the Obama appointees changed their interpretation of the rule. Again, the law never changed. It was just suddenly after 40 years, they said, everybody's been misreading this for 40 years. That's why they did it, because if you have a large employer, you can get enough people to band together to qualify for collective bargaining. So the unions want the large employer so they can unionize and collective bargain, whereas you can't do that in a small individual shop. But even so, a lot of Democrats should be for this bill because of the minority advantage because it's good for workers. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the premier, the oldest civil rights organization in the country, has endorsed Bradley Burns' bill. The Progressive Policy Institute has said that the Obamaites went too far. So it's not just conservatives that are saying this. It's anybody that understands entrepreneurship and how that creates jobs for all sorts of people. And it's really important. And again, I wrote about it because our local congressman is the one spearheading this effort.
Do you wonder if the danger to this is the atmosphere right now that facts and details be damned in Washington? It's all about, well, they'll say, hey, that was a bill that a Republican came up with. You know, don't worry about the bipartisan support, all that stuff you laid out. Nobody in Washington dares, stray from, that everything that comes out of the other party is bad.
And that's a problem.
Yep.
But because you've got groups like the Progressive Policy Institute, and especially the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, if Mitch McConnell would just say, okay, we're going to risk a filibuster, but we're going to go to Chuck Schumer and say, look, you might not be for it, but there are enough Democrats that that really know that this bill needs to be done, just don't filibuster it. You can yell about it all you want, but don't filibuster. Let us pass it with a simple majority, and give your guys a vote too, so they can, have a tally on there to show whichever way they want to show. This is the kind of thing where if Washington were working, they would allow individual bills like this to come up. Bills that actually address a specific problem rather than these massive so-called omnibus bills where you have 1,500 different things being considered at once. This is an easy problem to fix, and they should do it.
All right, listen, can you hang on for a second, Quinn?
Yeah, sure.
All right, coming right back. Let me point out, too, that in that voluminous desk drawer where Mitch McConnell puts bills to die is also what Congressman Byrne and others passed about restructuring the Magnuson-Stevenson Act and giving, better control back to the states for their snapper fishery. That one is in Mitch's drawer as well. Not drawers, in his drawer. Coming right back. Right, 823 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Heads up, folks at Common Sense Campaign said they're hosting a town hall tonight. Event is 6 tonight at Foley City Hall, 407 East Laurel Avenue. Candidates to participate include David Northcutt, running for Senate District 32, Billy Joe Underwood, running for Baldwin County Commission District 3, Alan Lithscomb, running for probate judge, and Harry Doleef, running for probate judge. This is happening tonight, once again, starting at 6 o'clock, Foley City Hall. More information, go online and look for Common Sense Campaign, get their links, but all you need to know is Foley City Hall, 6 tonight, and that Meet the Candidates event heading into that July 17th runoff. Also, Quinn, we were talking during the break. You wanted to remind folks that if they read the story, listen to your description of it, and say, yeah, something should be done here, they need to pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's very simple. You don't have to know the whole details that I just said. Just call Senator Shelby and especially Senator Jones and say and tell their office to tell the Senate leadership to take up and vote for the joint employer bill by Bradley Byrne, the joint employer bill.
All right.
All your senators.
And looking through the text line here, this texter said, ask Quinn his opinion of George Will's column where he states that we should vote for the Democrats in these midterms.
Look, I'm a long-time fan of George Will, sometimes back and forth with him, but I think he's dead wrong on this one. I've never been one of these people who likes to cut off my nose to spite my face. It makes no sense. You vote for the candidate in your race that you think best represents your values. You don't vote for somebody that doesn't represent your values just in order to try to create some double bank shot effect. With making the right people listen or whatever. You, if if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, vote for the conservative or vote for the Republican. Don't vote for the Democrat just to send a message about Donald Trump or just, do whatever George Will is saying. I just totally disagree with him on that.
All right. And I want to talk about, here it is. We're getting into the heart of summer and the close of the SCOTUS session for this year. A couple other big items on their docket, and also the rumor mill about possible retirements.
Yeah, that is going to reach fever pitch suddenly in the next 3 days, is whether or not there's going to be retirement, especially by Justice Kennedy. If there is, you're going to have Washington go crazy, because Justice Kennedy is the so-called swing vote in the middle of the Supreme Court. And if Trump can replace him with a full-time conservative, not a part-time conservative, it can really swing the balance on so many court decisions for the next 30, 35 years. It's going to be a battle like we haven't seen in a long... we've seen a lot of battles. Mm-hmm. This one is going to be really big.
What about the long game on that, or let's say the medium game? I imagine that liberals on the court are being told, of course, don't go anywhere for a couple years, but let's say 2020. That President Trump wins re-election another 4 years. Do the liberals on the court have the time to stick around there, or do you think you will have a liberal retire during a Trump administration?
Oh, well, if Trump gets a second term, then it's Katie by the door, because liberal Ruth Bader Ginsburg will almost certainly have to retire. So will liberal Stephen Breyer. Of course, moderate Anthony Kennedy, as we've said, he might go this year or next year. He might retire, but he certainly would wait out an entire second Trump term. You would also have a chance of Clarence Thomas. He's, quote, only 70. This is a second Trump term. He might retire thinking he'd rather have a Republican choose his replacement. So you could have a massive turnover in the court in the next 6 years if Trump gets reelected.
But, I mean,
the big deal is, does Kennedy retire this year?
Right, and you could have you could have a turnover that doesn't affect the weighting of the court. You could have people get out, that are conservatives during a Republican administration, get replaced with other conservatives. I was just wondering, moving, does, and Kennedy, you're right, moves that needle, that indecis, the fact that you can't prejudge every decision from SCOTUS right now, is part of that is because of Kennedy.
Exactly. I mean, that's why he is known as the swing vote, as it were, on the court, although it's not quite that simple. But, when you go from a 55% conservative to a 85 or 90% conservative, that makes a huge difference when the rest of the court is four liberals and four conservatives. And we should pay a particular attention, because if there is an opening, I guarantee you, again, one of the top four things will be Mobile's own Bill Pryor. That is baked in the cake that he will be one of the top four or five being considered, just like he was in the final four last time. And we could have lots of attention on Pryor, on Mobile, on all sorts of things that happened in Mobile and in Alabama when he was growing up, when he was Attorney General. We'll have the spotlight again.
All right, Quinn, give folks the directions if they want to go pick up Mad Jones Heretic.
Oh, Mad Jones Heretic at Amazon.com. And my other two books, Mad Jones Hero and Mad Jones Agonistes, will supposedly be out on Friday. So you can now get all three of them, and get this. If you get the electronic version, then the first one is available just for 2 weeks for 99 cents.
Very good. So there will be a Quinn Hilliard trilogy available out there.
Quinn Hilliard trilogy will be available. It's the Accidental Prophet trilogy. It will be available, all three of them, by Friday. And the first one is a special enticement, will be available on the electronic version for 99 cents.
There he is, J.R.R. Hilliard. Quinn Hilliard. And we're coming right back. All at 836, FM Talk 1065, and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad you are here. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, and you at 343-0106. Hey, even if you're not going to ring us right now or text us right now, it's good to keep in the speed dial because it'll be some point maybe today or this week you want to chime in. So keep that ready to go. 343-0106. All right. Also, watching the markets yesterday, y'all know I nerd out on that stuff a little bit. Just trying to kind of watch what happens, trying to figure out. Sometimes it makes sense what the market's reaction to certain news items are. Sometimes it makes no sense. But I can tell you what we do know is from Fed announcement here, interest rates going up. Right, we know that's going up. We see it out there. You see it in mortgages. You see it in unsecured debt. In other words, credit card debt rates. We're already 17-18%, and now we're looking at possible numbers in the 20s going forward. So you've got some of that credit card debt. You know what you're paying every month on this. You want to save some money? Yeah. I get you. The best way to do that is lower your interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Now, LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. Get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. How much does that save you every month? Loans from $5,000 to $100,000, and you choose your funding date, which could be as soon as today. Now, y'all will get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates when you do what I'm fixing to tell you here. The only way to get the discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. A website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information. All right, a couple things here. Some people reacting to what Quinn had to say. And by the way, too, that story about the NLRB decision from back during the Obama administration and the change proposed by Congressman Bradley Byrne. That link is up on our Twitter feed, and you go at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter and grab it right there. We probably get it linked up on the Facebook page as well. And while you're on the Facebook page, remember, check out the details of the Summer Better Than Others contest. Of course, this is rolling on through the summer, and your chance to win over $5,500 worth of giveaways. Details online, website, Facebook page, and our other social media platforms. Also on our list here today, Mobile City Council, Mobile County Commission, both meeting, and the Jags, folks from USA, taking, was it 250, they said that was their goal, 250 students or something?
Yeah, they're loading up a bus, maybe two buses, I guess, if they get enough
coaches there. Yeah.
More than one for the 250 people, but they're expecting 250 supporters. Now, it is summer, and they do have summer classes.
Yes.
I'm not sure how many of these supporters will be students, alumni, or just people who want the stadium built there on campus, but they've been sending out emails and press releases, and today they're trying to hit both the county commission meeting and the city council meetings. They're probably loading up the buses right around now to head to that 9:30 county commission meeting where that stadium will be discussed, and then the city council meeting will be discussed at 10:30 when the council starts this morning. They're not expecting to vote at city council, but they are expected to discuss whether they'll pay $10 million or not.
And let's explain what they're asking. So $10 million from each.
Right. So so South is asking both city and county commissions $10 million apiece. The city would pay, and I think the county would be the same, but $500,000 a year for 20 years. In addition to that, South Alabama will pay the city back $2.5 million, and that money will go towards Ladd Peebles Stadium, whether they use that for renovations or what they would use. They say renovations, but I'm not sure if that's what they would use for that $2.5 million at Ladd Peebles Stadium. So, in total, city would end up spending $7.5 million, spending that on South's campus stadium. And they've also been releasing a lot of images and design ideas for this on-campus stadium. The renderings. I believe they say it'll seat 25,000 to begin with, and then over the years they'll add more seats, and until they're eventually right around 40,000 that they can fit into the stadium. But also one of the sides, standing rows where they have drink, I guess.
Wait, stand up like that. Some of the airplanes were going to do the standing thing to get more of us on an airplane.
Right, except I think this will kind of be more of like a party area almost, kind of like if you go to Stanky Field in right field, they have an area where you can stand and watch the game. But this standing area that they're designing for the South Alabama campus stadium will also be a stage. They can turn that into a concert stage so that they can hold concerts at the stadium also. They also say they'll have club levels and all that good stuff.
So they're going to be able to say the crowd is on their feet.
And literally, right?
No, they're still on their feet. They've been on their feet the whole game.
I know when we started talking about this, you wonder about the different bowl games. You know, according to this proposal, this would include the stipulations that the Senior Bowl, the Dollar General Bowl, and the Gulf Coast Challenge could be played at USA's new stadium rent-free.
Okay. And I asked y'all at the beginning of the hour, I said, okay, if you were a member of the county commission, you're a city council member, how would you be voting? This texter says, I vote no. If the city and county have $20 million to spend on a moment's notice, they can reduce taxes. Well, it'd be a structured payment, like Dalton said. He said the city and county will pay that and more for increasing the road infrastructure and more after the stadium is built. Let's see. Let's go. Let's do this. We'll go to the phones because Thomas wants to chime in on this. Thomas, what's up, man?
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Finley. Good morning, Dalton. Welcome back.
Thanks, Thomas. Good morning.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, I always enjoy Quinn Hillier's segments on Tuesdays. This stadium. Now, they're going to bring in 250 people. I got a couple comments. 250 people. Are these going to be all millennials that are young, still getting money from their parents, or are they going to be property taxpayers?
I guess if it's alumni, they're probably taxpayers. I'd imagine a majority will be students.
I don't know what taxpayers think about this. Also, they pick out USA. Now, why don't we pick out Bishop State College, give them $10 million to improve their nursing program?
Because
or how about,
okay, because
Spring
they're not
Hill
building
College
a stadium.
And give it to their golf program.
Right, because they're not building a stadium. Like, remember how I've said this in the past, when you look at, like, at a state level, when the, or it really happens at all levels, county, municipal, state, and federal government, there are a lot better ways to, like, improve business in the state of Alabama. You could work with small businesses, you could make Alabama more business-friendly, but you know what that doesn't do? It doesn't give you a ribbon-cutting event. And
with the big scissors?
Yes, with the big scissors, you know, they come from my store, I'm going to open.
They're killing us.
Right,
we've got the employment now. The politicians should stop this. Well, it's all for jobs. It's all for jobs. No, we got to get some income in here to take care of the infrastructure that they're using for free. The bridges, the roads, all that type of stuff.
Well, we don't use bridges, today. And I appreciate the call, Tom. We don't use bridges and roads for free. You may argue with how much we pay for it, but we pay for it with a gas tax. We pay for it with you know, the taxes on our vehicle and licensing and all that. So that's we actually do pay for those things. But you have South as one entity, and people have asked, you know, what the overlay, how much of South's money is coming from state. I don't have those numbers in front of me. How much of it is, you know, straight tuition? But they're asking, they could make an argument, play devil's advocate for a second. I don't disagree with you on all points, Thomas, but play devil's advocate. They could say, listen, the city and the county's investment in this stadium will lead to more events coming. Dalton mentioned concerts, maybe more bowl games, more things coming, and then you get that money through sales tax revenue. That's going to be one of the arguments that they make.
Here's a number you may want to know. According to AL.com, the total price tag is expected to be at least $70 million. The Jags would play their first game in 2020. Of course, we're talking 25,000-seat on-campus stadium scheduled to begin later this year.
All right. So they say it's going to cost
$70 million.
Uh-huh. But you can bet that final number's higher. Just saying. This is close I could find to the Muzak version
of
Margaritaville. This is the lullaby, Margaritaville lullaby Muzak version.
21 and over.
That's right. That is right. All right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Transition happened on Friday. White Lightning went back home to Dean McCrary Mazda. And you rolled out with the first hatchback you've driven in
yes.
how long?
That's not nice.
Okay, it's not nice. I'm not nice. You know.
You
okay,
are
a what?
Going to get it.
Yes.
We're going to get in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling. Hey, you know what? I came back to the dealership, and we have our usual where I park the car a certain place, turn mm-hmm. in the keys. They walk me through my next vehicle, and I came in and I said, I really love the 3. I could not believe how much I fell in love with the 2018 Mazda 3. So Greg worked on some things, shifted a few things around, and voila, I am driving the 2018 Mazda 3 hatchback. This little puppy, I've yet to name him, although I'm very close, has 5 doors, of course. It's nearly identical to White Lightning. Nearly.
Okay. All right.
This is a sport version, so this has a 6-speed automatic transmission with sport mode. Once again, great on gas mileage. Push-button start, HD radio. You're talking about a rear-view camera, which is necessary if you're trying to zoom around town and you want to make sure you are safe. Safety, of course, is key. You have your front and your side airbags, so keeping yourself and your VIPs well-protected. For the Fab 5, of course, seats 5, so that is a big deal for us. Here's something that's very cool. It has rain-sensing windshield wipers. How about that?
That's cool. So you don't have to remember to, I don't know, turn on your windshield wipers.
Well, I'm waiting for it to rain so I can see how it works.
Well, that'll happen.
But just wait 2 seconds, right, guys?
Yes.
And also, the aggressive grill. It's one of my favorites. So if I am behind you, I'm either smiling at you with the grill or it's saying, get out the way. But he is not named yet. I will post some pictures of him. It's kind of between two names. But, I mean, just once again, another great vehicle from the lineup of the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda, which I've been test driving just for a couple of days. I get it for 2 weeks and I get to let you know what I think. So hopefully these little nuggets of information will help you make your decision to zoom on over to the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda located on the East Service Road of I-65.
All right, 852 FM Talk 106.5. Look at the picture here of the buses arriving with students from or whatever supporters from South. This is a picture from Government Plaza showing the buses pulling into the parking lot there at the Civic Center. So they have arrived for this. Also, heads up here, Rob was telling me, Rob Holbert with Landyap, in tomorrow, you know, the new Landyap drops tomorrow. They will have a full rundown and story about all the stadium questions about LAD, the funding, who's paying what, all those kind of things. So members, start looking tomorrow for that new Landyap. It'll be in there.
I think another thing with this stadium, and they're talking about they're open to these other bowl games moving to South Stadium. Of course, the people who run those bowl games will have to agree to that and decide mm-hmm. that it's a better deal. But we're at risk of losing the Senior Bowl, I think, with LAD Peebles Stadium.
You know, that's one of the – and it's been talked about a whole bunch that mm-hmm. that's a possibility.
And I think that if the city wants to keep the Senior Bowl in town, that would be another thing to keep to think about when they vote on this, because I think with South building the on-campus stadium, that the city would benefit if the Senior Bowl decides to stick around because of this brand new stadium. And also, somebody else brought it up on the text line here, operation costs. That would all go to the University of South Alabama. So these games that are being held at LAD Peebles Stadium, whether it's high school games, a lot of these bowl games, mm-hmm. The city is paying to operate that stadium. Now, they'll pay $500,000 a year and they'll get back $2.5 million for renovations to LAD Peebles Stadium. But all those costs will be transferred to the university. That's something else to keep in mind.
What has been the general consensus of the neighbors that live around that area?
There's a lot of people that have chimed in that they would be upset by that traffic. I am one of those neighbors, mm-hmm. and I'm not particularly bothered by it. Mm-hmm. But you know, believe me, when there's a game going on, there'll be a lot of traffic. Let's go to Bill downtown Dog River next. Hey, Bill.
Hi. The city investing in this stadium reminds me of somebody who would build a swimming pool because the roof of their house is leaking. The city has missed my garbage pickup 3 times in the last month and my trash pickup twice. It just seems crazy to me that we're investing in yet another high dollar capital issue when we can't even pick the garbage up.
You know, you wonder with this being, although like Dalton said, is this long-term a better decision because the city gets itself out of the business of running stadiums?
That I'm not qualified to speak to, but I would suggest that since we have no contract between the city and South Alabama yet that stating who's going to pay what is pretty premature. If you think the university's going to eat the fact that high schools play there, I think you're probably just in error.
All right, Bill. You know, I think part of it is you would have LAD you know, converted. Somebody was telling me here that, and I'll, you know, we'll have to confirm all this, that maybe they raised the structure and put in something like the LIP is, you know, where McGill plays,
mm-hmm.
and that would be a more, you know, a more manageable facility. You have to have a place that when you're not doing something there, not playing a game there, how does it stand up to weather and time and all those kind of things?
Right. So. And, you know, if you can't get around, a lot of people are upset with LAD, I guess it's age, and we've had so many games there where I've seen people tweet and text in and say, sometimes LAD people just didn't up to snuff for the kind of stuff that we want to have here in Mobile. This new stadium would bring in, and the way they're setting it up with this concert stage, I think it would bring in more concerts, certainly, because they can...
But at the same time, you have to grow the pie, because if you say it's just going to take more, then does it take it from the Sanger, take it from the city? I mean,
right.
You just, it has to increase the size of the pie, or mm-hmm. it's going to be a net loss.
I'm interested, how much would $10 million or $500,000 a year, how much is that relative to the city council's normal spending budget?
I don't know. That's a good number. We got to figure out. And, you know, Kelly's question, too. I mean, what about the neighbors? You know, I mean, there are. I've seen some people complaining about this, but there's also people who complain about anything, too.
That is so, very true. That's very true.
It doesn't mean they're not valid, but there's any subject you can bring up. I've been doing this long enough that somebody's going to feel like their ox is being gored.
Do you think that they would sweeten the pot with the neighbors and give them season tickets? I mean, just as a possibility.
Because where would you draw that arbitrary line? Where would you go? Your neighbor over there gets them, but you don't get them.
I'm just thinking outside the box.
Yep, and trying to get me some tickets so I can share them with you.
You know, that's what friends are all about.
All right, David's up next.
Hey, guys, if I was a city councilman, I would basically do a cost-benefit analysis like a businessman would do, and I would take in all the cost it cost me to put on those three bowl games for the Senior Bowl, the Dollar General Bowl, and the Gulf Coast Classic, as well as the maintenance cost for the Glad People Stadium, and determine if the $500,000 that I would pay for over the next 20 years would be equal to or less or even a little bit more than what I'm paying now, because you got to realize the operational cost for that stadium, Glad People, is only going to go up with employee pay raises and increased maintenance costs. So if I can lock me into a $500,000 fixed payment over the next 20 years now, I would probably do that if it's going to save me money over the long term.
All right, David, appreciate the call. We'll pick this back up at noon today, and we'll be able to kind of analyze it, because it'll be after the council and the Mobile City Council and Mobile County Commission meet. Talk about this toward Midday Mobile starting at noon today. Laura Ingram next. Y'all have a good one.
You have a better one.
Okay, I will.